the ITC, and Fitbit et al. 2021-2064. Mr. Thompson, we're ready when you are. From Peloton to Fitbit.
Yes, it's all about exercise today. Yeah. Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The ALJ erred in determining that Claim 2 of the 228 Bremer patent merely invoked a computer as a tool. They did that rather than recognizing that the claims were directed to an improvement in circuit technology, as the specification makes clear. Claim 2, in fact, is directed to improving the operation of circuitry, and specifically to a measurement unit and processor by adding an interruption in the outputting and the monitoring that did not exist before in such circuits. The specification explains that even with a minimum sampling frequency of 16 times per second, that's what the specification says, interruptions should be added to the downstream outputting and monitoring circuitry that thereby save power while maintaining the sample frequency. Previous circuits monitored continuously at the sample frequency without added interruptions, and that would be continuously in time as opposed to what the claim says, discontinuously in time. That's an important, I think, in thinking through this distinction to ask. Is it continuous in time or discontinuous in time? Claim 2 is specific to the circuit improvement and does not preempt any building blocks of innovation. We believe that the Talis v. U.S. case had similar claims, and I think if you look at the structure of the claims in that case, you'll see that it's actually sort of remarkable just structurally how the claims were. This court found those to be eligible under Step 1 because they were directed to improve circuits. The Unilock v. LG Electronics case is another one that I would recommend the court to look at. Now, relative to anticipation, I'd like to switch to anticipation under Section 102. The ALJ applied Claim 2 to a catheter and a master control unit that operated continuously and in phase with the generation of the sensor signals. Claim 2, as I mentioned before, is limited to circuitry that adds interruptions to the outputting and monitoring circuitry. The catheter and master control unit simply don't include the added interruptions in Cunningham. Cunningham generates sensor signals at a rate of 330 times per second, and I'll note the spec says approximately 330, the exact number is 330 times per second. And those sensor signals are continuously output and monitored, and this is important, this is in Cunningham. And I'll just read it, quote it. It says, in phase with the activation of said transducers. So what's that mean? That means that the sample and hold circuit is operating, as it says, in phase with the activation of the transducers, continuously, actually at the very same time, according to the specification. And I'll point you to Appendix 18326 at column 12, lines 27 through 32 for that point. So column 12, lines 27 through 32. The ALJ also erred in applying the monitoring and turn limitations of Claim 2, which distinguished the tracking of the sensor signals concurrently and in parallel. In other words, Claim 2 makes clear that in the in-turn limitation, that if you process concurrently and in parallel, as opposed to in-turn, then you are outside the scope of the claim. In Cunningham...
You're making a, I would say, a factually based argument, it sounds like, and we're looking at a substantial evidence standard of review here. Can you show us where the determination we're reviewing is not supported by substantial evidence?
Yes, that would be... Well, first off, let me make an overall observation, which is that there is not really any dispute as to what Cunningham teaches. First off, Cunningham is a patent, right? So we can read the patent for what it says, and this is anticipation. I think if you look at the record, there really is not sort of like the situation where one expert says this and another expert says that. The circuitry is described clearly in Cunningham. And what happens is the catheter over a single line sends a collective signal that then is received. And I guess I would point to, I can point you to a specific thing here. I would look at figure 15, which is 18315.
On that figure, item 47, what is that referring to? The entire unit that we're looking at, or just that little box?
So I have the patent here. If it's okay, I know it might be too far to see, but this is the catheter here.
Well, we have that if you cite it to us.
Oh, yeah.
It's the JA18315.
Yeah, figure 15. Yeah. And so,
just for clarity, there's three different claim limitations that are discussed with respect to this anticipation. So which specific one are you addressing right now?
I'm referring to monitoring in turn. Okay. That limitation, because it again, that we were asked.
You're saying Cunningham doesn't disclose that.
Yes, because these circuits here, when it does monitor, they're in parallel.
And can you give us the reference number since we do have the patent?
Oh, yes. Sorry, Your Honor. So the in parallel part of the circuitry starts with the sample and hold circuits that are 44, 144, and 244. And those are for the X, Y, and Z. That's the first time that an actual X signal is created, or a Y signal is created, or a Z signal is created. In a way that they could possibly even be then processed in turn. They don't exist up until that time. And then 46, 146 and 246 then do further processing on those. And all of this, I think importantly, as I mentioned before, The patent says that is done in phase with the activation of the transducers. That means that those are all done concurrently. They're in phase with the activation of the transducers. So all of this.
What about the language in the patent that says the master control unit 9 receives the three signals of the transducers in successive time intervals?
At that point in time, The signals are not separate. They're a single voltage. And that is shown in actually the same page on figure 16.
But what about when it says signals from three uniaxial transducers, 2X, 2Y, and 2Z in distinct and successive time intervals? I think that's in column 6.
In column 6, the reference, bear with me for 1 second so I can refer to it. And it also says in the next sentence what's available on that wire has to be reconstructed into the three signals before it can be monitored in turn. So that would be, and what I'm specifically referring to is column 6, line 56. Starts the master control unit 9 reconstructs within itself the three analog signals from the three accelerometer transducers. And that's the only time that the X, Y, and Z then can be processed separately. And in order to be in turn, as the claim requires, and indeed they're not processed in turn. At that point, they're processed in parallel and concurrently in phase. So I would also then, I'd like to go back, if I may, to a few of the citations that I thought, some of the evidence out of the patent that I think would be helpful for the court. So I'm just going to refer to the Bremer patent, which begins on appendix 377. That's the 228 patent. So these citations that I'm talking about are all within it. So at column 1, lines 33 through 34, the patent, and this goes to the 101 question, that it specifically says that it is directed to, and I'll quote, the state of art techniques in the field of integrated circuit technology. So is a computer used as a tool just to do, you know, implement some previous existing process? Absolutely not. The patent itself says that what it's trying to do is improve circuit technology. Then at column 251 through 54, and I think that in this sort of area of the patent, 51 through 59, is where it really explains what the addition was, because it says that in the normal monitoring, that it says, and I'll quote, this is at line 51, 54 probably, this requires a sample frequency of at least 16 hertz. So that at least 16 hertz means a minimum of 16 hertz, but could be more. And 16 hertz is 16 times per second. And then it says in the next sentence, however, what we've discovered is instead of continuously monitoring and outputting that, having circuits that do that, namely a measurement unit and a processor, that what we have is we recognize that however, as a human person seldom changes this kind of activity, et cetera, and then here's the key, it is not necessary to do the monitoring continuously. So very next sentence. So you sample it 16 times per hertz, but then they realize you don't have to have your circuits monitor at that frequency. And so they added interruptions. And that was the change to the measurement unit and the processor.
Do I remember correctly that you have to be successful on both anticipation and 101 in order to have your claim survive?
That's correct. Okay. There are two issues that the court would need to address. This I'm referring at this point in time to 101, but they do fit together, because if you look at the invention that I was just describing about adding interruptions, that's also the failure of Cunningham. They're one and the same. Cunningham does not have any added interruptions, and that's made very clear by the specification itself, where it says that everything is done, it's that important sentence I mentioned, everything is done and in phase with the activation of the transducers.
Just to be clear, though, your claims are, at least claim one, looks broader than that. I mean, it doesn't talk about adding interruptions. It does talk about discontinuously measuring, outputting discontinuously, monitoring and processing discontinuously, but it doesn't say adding interruptions, right?
That's not what the claim says, but that's the meaning of it, and the interpretation by the court or by the ALJ, where they interpreted monitoring. So you have to read them together. So it's discontinuously in time, but that goes to monitoring or outputting. So they're kind of joined.
Counselor, so, you're well into your rebuttal time. You can continue or you can save it as you wish.
I will try to answer this in two very brief seconds. So the discontinuously in time was construed at Appendix 342 to mean interruption, pauses, or breaks. And so that's why. Thank you.
Mr. Rosenzweig. Good
morning. Your Honor, may it please the Court. I'll try to keep this pretty quick and just respond to the points that Phillips raised, unless you have questions. Counsel for Phillips came out and said that this patent is directed to an improvement in circuit technology, as the specification makes clear. That's simply not so. The Commission's brief in this case went through the specification line by line and explained how nearly all of it characterizes the prior art, and the invention here is merely turning things off in an unspecified way at unspecified times. There is no circuit technology that's disclosed in this patent. We have generic processors. We have, I would say, accelerometers, but the patent isn't even limited to accelerometers. Generic motion sensors of any sort combined together in a generic activity monitor. And that's all the structure that there is. Council relied on the Thales case. I don't know how to pronounce that. Thales is very different. Thales involved unconventional sensor placement that resulted in having to use calculations from a different frame of reference that's simply inapposite here. Unilock involved adding new fields to Bluetooth in order to decrease latency in a very specific way. That's also looks nothing like the present case, in which all that is taught is turning off the sensors or turning off the sensors and the processor in these patent claims. Other cases that I think are helpful are MCRO, which explain that by incorporating the specific features of the rules for animation, it would avoid abstraction. But there are no rules in this patent. There are no rules in this claim. There are no rules whatsoever. It's actually kind of surprising that a patent like this comes so far away from even disclosing a best mode of operation, much less claiming it. Also, in SRI, another case that I think may be helpful for the court, the claims prevented the normal expected operation of a computer network. So kind of like Thales. When you have something unexpected happening, it might not be abstract. But here, turning off the sensors or turning off the sensors and the processor result in completely predictable results using completely generic hardware. Council then turned I'll turn then to Cunningham, unless the court has any questions about 101. On Cunningham, council turned to column 12, which is getting into this unit 47 versus processing unit 9 issue, which we've discussed in our brief. Before the ALJ, Phillips relied entirely on that little box of 47 in the figure that he showed you, because you have three wires coming in. Never looked at 9. So Phillips's expert, for example, at page 2000 and 2004 of the appendix said that, you know, in reviewing invalidity, I've only looked at 47, not 9. The accused infringers in this case explained with substantial evidence why it was that 9 was the claim processor and not 47. And we have testimony from the accused infringer's expert, Dr. Paradiso, at pages 1800 to 02 of the appendix, 1850 to 53, 6033 to 38. We also have Phillips's own expert admitting that it was 9 that does the processing at page 1954 of the appendix. Then, in its petition for commission review, Phillips never raised this issue about whether the ALJ was correct or incorrect in determining that the processor of Cunningham was 47 versus 9. So the commission never looked at it. I could tell you that there's substantial evidence in the record that would support the ALJ, but the commission never looked at that. Judge Stoll is correct in observing that the Cunningham patent repeatedly teaches sending the X, Y, and Z signals one at a time up the wire from the implantable device in Cunningham to the processor. And Cunningham is right on point here. For this Cunningham issue, anticipation is a question of fact. And counsel's effort to say, well, it's a patent, so we don't need to rely on an expert, or we don't even need to rely on anything in the administrative record. We'll just look at the patent. That finds no support in this court's case law. Substantial evidence supports the commission's finding of anticipation.
Do I remember correctly that there's expert testimony on both sides supporting this, that the processor 9 measures each of those signals successively?
It does. I mean, I don't want to suggest that the experts had a single view. Phillips's expert said, well, the processor should be 47, and looking at the figure, you can see why that is. But at the same time, even Phillips's expert at page 1954 recognized that it was control unit 9, recognized that control unit 9 did processing. Dr. Paradiso's testimony on the pages that I referred you to walked through the patent to explain why it is the person of ordinary skill would understand that it's 9 rather than 47, including looking at the representative numbering in the patent claims and looking specifically at the patent's explanation throughout about control unit 9 doing the processing. Again, though, this issue is forfeited on appeal because it was not presented for the commission's review below. The commission has rules that say that if you do not raise an issue in your petition for review, it's abandoned. And this court has cases like Broadcom and Finnegan, there are a lot of them, where this court recognizes the principle of administrative exhaustion and doesn't allow parties to raise arguments that were not presented to the agency below. I see the council has not raised anything with respect to the 698 patent. The commission's finding of no violation as to that patent should be affirmed, and unless the court has any further questions, I'll yield my time to my colleague.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. White. Mr. Bagatelle.
May it please the court, Dan Bagatelle. Good morning. I am arguing on behalf of all the respondents, and I represent Fitbit in particular. I'll be brief because I think Commission's counsel covered the issues very well. As far as the 101 issue, the real problem is that it's just a conceptual patent. It never describes anything at a low-level circuit diagram of specifically how you would turn on and off the sensors or the processor. It's simply the concept of doing it, and this court has repeatedly held that you can't just describe a concept without a specific way of implementing it. It's not in the claim. It's not even in the specification. Turning to Cunningham.
But it doesn't describe a concept, does it? It describes a monitor, a measurement unit, and a processor. Aren't these articles of manufacture?
They are articles of manufacture. But basically, if you look at the patent 228, if you look at figure 1, it's basically a black box. The activity monitor is a measurement unit, a processor, and a memory. A measurement unit, processor, and a memory unit. They don't even claim the memory unit. And they just talk about basically turning the measurement unit on and off at some time, for some reason, with no particular specification on how to do it. That's not a low-level circuitry analysis. That's simply the concept of discontinuous operation.
Do you think that in making that determination then, you have to look and see in the claim what's conventional and what's not? I'm just taking the time now to ask you that. I mean, it says an activity monitor, that's a thing. So does that mean that we're supposed to look at the improvement of the thing compared to other things, and that's how we determine what the abstract idea is? We gotta
consider that prior. I think you can look at both the claims and the specification to determine what this patent is directed to. The claims basically discuss acting discontinuously, and the specification makes clear that the entire activity monitor is prior art. The only difference is that you're going to operate discontinuously. They actually have an intern limitation that was in a dependent claim. It's nowhere described in the written description. It's never been purportedly novel. It couldn't be novel because the accused intern protocol is something that existed in the prior art. So they've never attempted to argue that that was some sort of inventive concept at step two. So I think you can look at both the claims and the specification, and you can see clearly that this is simply directed at the concept of discontinuous operation in an activity monitor. This was back in 2003 or 4. This is before Alice, and I guess people thought that they could claim those sorts of things. We know today that you can't simply say, take this general concept and apply it in this particular field of art and call it patent eligible.
In other words, an article of manufacture, if it's doing the same thing that other articles of manufacture have done, is abstract.
Not necessarily. It depends on what the idea is. Because if you have a claim that were simply directed to an object and that object was in the prior art, it would simply be anticipated. The problem with ineligibility is that it's directed, in this case, to an ineligible concept, which is the idea of discontinuous operation. It's an idea of discontinuous operation in a particular technological context, namely activity monitors. But the Supreme Court has said time and again, and so has this court, that you can't simply take an abstract idea, put it into a particular type of device, and call that an invention for purposes of Section 101. If your honors have no more questions on 101, I'll turn very briefly to Cunningham and 102. There were two issues, basically, discontinuous operation and monitoring in turn. It's very clear as far as discontinuity that in Cunningham basically quickly reads X, reads Y, reads Z, and then stays quiet for 29/30 of the duty cycle. Boom, 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 off. And then it repeats, boom, 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 off. And so as a result of that, you're saving 29/30 of the power. The patent repeatedly describes reading three signals in turn, X, Y, and Z, and that is at the direction of the processor 9, master control unit 9, using number 10, the timing circuit, tells you to read sequentially, 1, 2, 3, in order. Mr. Thompson discussed the reconstruction of the signals. That is really a red herring. There are two types of reconstruction that are discussed in the patent. One is that you want to limit it in Cunningham to a particular bandwidth. You want to throw out the highs and lows. And there's some amount of reconstruction that you need to do to get it down to that. The other type of reconstruction is basically analog to digital, back to analog again. And their own infringement theory in this case depended on the idea that the analog and the digital are just two flavors of the same signal. And so all you're doing in reconstruction is just taking them back out again. You put them through an interface and you got to put all the X's together and the Y's together and the Z's together. But they're known to be X's, Y's, and Z's. They're just analog and digital versions of the same. I think I don't need to belabor the point, but the basic concept is you sequentially activate the sensors, you receive the information, X, Y, and Z. They are received in turn, and they are tracked in turn. How do we know that they're tracked in turn? Because they're subsequently processed. They are received. They're not thrown away. They don't have to be put in a memory or anything like that in the claim. They are simply kept track of, and then you can do all sorts of processing, whether that's reconstruction or calculating peak-to-peak values. We know that they've been kept track of because they know which are the X's and which are the Y's and which are the Z's. And that is sufficient to satisfy the construction of that limitation. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Bagatelle. Mr. Thompson has a minute and a half left.
Thank you, Your Honors. I'll start with 102. There was quite a bit of discussion about intern from them, but not a whole lot about the discontinuous in time, the interruptions. And that is because sampling is about generating a signal, not monitoring and not outputting a signal. And the claim talks about a measurement unit that's been changed now to output discontinuously in time, and that has been interpreted to mean with interruptions or breaks or pauses. Those are new things that never existed before in that component. Same thing with the processor. The processor is to monitor discontinuous in time, and the new thing is, as was interpreted, the interruptions, the breaks or pauses. That makes for a big difference. That makes a device much more usable because it lasts longer. I think we all know that if our phones or our devices run out of battery in 5 minutes or 5 seconds, they're just not useful. This is a major technical problem of electronic devices. And this thing is about changing the measure.
Where are you now? Are you in on 102 or 101?
Well, they are very joined here. They are definitely very joined here because it's the same advancement in the circuitry that is distinguishing the Cunningham case.
Well, what's the claimed advancement here? Is it monitoring the monitoring single sensor signals discontinuously in time? Is that what the claimed advance is?
The discussed advance in the specification focuses on that. Of course, the claims also include another limitation.
Now, what's the claimed advance, would you say?
Oh, the discussed advancement is to change the measurement unit and the processor, to change them. Instead of processing and being made to operate continuously at the sample rate, there's now a change. Now they will not do that. They're no longer that device that was there before. Now they're going to put an interruption. They're going to operate discontinuously in time.
How does that help you with respect to Cunningham?
Because in Cunningham, as Cunningham says, and it's column 12, 27 through 32, and I don't think this is disputed, they certainly didn't say anything, its circuitry operates in phase with the activation of the transducers. That means that the outputting and the monitoring is done at the same time. That's not with interruptions. And that's why I was saying what they confuse is they look at the generation of the signal and say that that is the monitoring. That's not. That is the generation of the signal. Going back to the specification, it says that the minimum sample rate is 16 hertz, and what we are, our advancement is that we realize that you don't have to monitor continuously at that rate. You can add interruptions.
Thank you, counsel. As you can see, your time has expired. The case is submitted.
Thank you.